Welcome to the Vertafore Insurance Podcast with Rick Fox. We're here to talk about the industry with some of its biggest influencers. From technology, trends, and current events, if it's happening in insurance, you'll hear about it here. Make sure to tune in every week and join in on the conversation with us on social media at Vertafore. And now, here's Rick Fox.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Vertafore Insurance Podcast. I'm the host, Rick Fox, and today's episode is going to be crammed with information. I am so happy to have Keith Savino, who I count as a friend, someone I've known for a long time, and someone who I can literally spend hours talking to and getting amazing amounts of information on things that I know but don't know enough about or don't know at all. And he has been around. He has done this thing. Keith is the principal of Broadfield Insurance, which is a member of the PCF Insurance Services. He is the national president of PIA, past chairman of NetView. I could literally go on for about another 15 minutes with his bio of boards and seats that he's had. He is out in the industry. I am almost certain everybody has heard of Keith or heard him speak, but we're honored and glad to have you, Keith. Thanks for being on, man.
Thanks, Rick. It's great to be here with you, buddy.
And I think the best way to start with someone like Keith is I kind of think of you, Keith, as a futurist. And so when I say that, tell me about your background. Tell me all about the way you got to where you are, why you're here, and kind of just, why are we on the phone? How come I said, man, we got to get Keith on? Tell me about your future and your journey.
Well, I don't know why you wanted to talk with me. we've known each other long enough. I know that we probably could sit and swap stories and just keep folks entertained, but now I'm going to try to answer you like you're a proper interviewer.
Oh, thank you, sir.
I'll try to give you that respect, sir. Rick. You know, I came from outside the industry. So when we love to use these terms like disruptor and so forth, I guess in some ways I was a disruptor. I came from the telephony industry, and I also worked for high-tech firms prior to being in insurance. So you could imagine my surprise when I entered the industry in 1988 at the amount of paper. I can remember typing on five-part invoices, typing certificates with carbon paper, where the X's would never line up on the fifth page right. The same way as the first. And that makes it sound like a legacy person. But in a lot of ways, I immediately looked at that and said, oh, there's got to be a better way. Come on, man. This is crazy. And my brother, who had attracted me into the business, who also had started from outside the industry and helped to start an agency, was a huge proponent of we should do it differently. Even if he didn't know how, he just knew we should also be doing it differently. So that's kind of how I started in the business.
Well, I think, Keith, if I were to kind of define you, like obviously you're a very successful businessman. You've done great things in this industry. But what I think, how I define you and how I define when I think of people as friends is people, like-minded people. And what I love about the way you go about your business and the way you go about your day is that you truly love this industry and you truly are out there helping people all the time. Just like you said, let's do it different, not just for the sake of different, but for the sake of growth and the sake of betterment. So, you know, this is a Vertafore Insurance Podcast, VIP. Vertafore's 50th year, and we went through a process where we picked insurance all-stars. It was no surprise to me that you were one of those all-stars that was picked.
And thank you for the honor, by the way.
No, great, and well-deserved. And so, Keith, with people listening, and we get all kinds of people on the show talking about how do you do this, how do you do that? You know, we've had some really good podcasts. I think where I want to start and really kind of have you talk, and people are, you know, they're be quiet in the background. I got to listen to what Keith has to say. That's where we're at right now with you is the future. Let's talk about the future of this industry in your eyes, what that looks like, what it feels like, and where you think we're going. Talk to me about the future.
Well, for one, there's a lot of outside influences on our future. Our industry's always kind of been this one closed ecosystem. But when you think about how the world is changing and what the impact is going to be on insurance, it's impossible to think about what the impact is going to be on the distribution channel, right? And particularly on independent agents and brokers, on the systems that we use, the carriers we represent, what you know we've referred to for many years as the three-legged stool, right? The agents, right. The agents, the carriers, and the vendors. And there was a time when, you know, back in the late 90s, you may remember the dot-com boom. People were speaking about the future, and everyone was predicting that insurance agents, and this was the word back then, were going to be disintermediated. And now, you know, I laugh about that because now we're being disrupted. And if you go back to Bill Gates had a book called The Road Ahead. And after rewriting a number of chapters about 9 months into the book, right. One of the key phrases was that intermediaries will need to prove their value, right? And if they do not continue to prove their value, then they will be disintermediated. And that's where that term came from. Of course, that's 20 years ago. And today, independent agents and brokers probably represent more carriers than ever before. More right. carriers deal with independent agents and brokers than ever before. So clearly, we continue to prove that there was value in the process. So that's the baseline first.
It feels like you're saying that with pride.
Which is tremendous.
Yes. Pride. Yeah.
If you go back and you think even 10, 15 years ago, how many carriers were captive only, and those carriers have gone to multi-distribution channels, which meant they included independent agents in their channels. That's a compliment to the independent agent and broker system. And we often don't think about it from that perspective. I do, because I now look at my roster of companies, and many of the logos that we are proud to represent are companies which were only hung, a logo would have been hung outside the office of a captive-only agency just a decade ago.
That's so true.
So that's the baseline, right? If you go back even further and you say, what's the future of an industry? You could look at the automobile industry, the technology industry, the telephony industry that I came from, and you look and you see the mistakes that sometimes great leaders made. And that will also impact what the future of insurance is. I'll share a great telephony story as a let's look back before we look forward. So, you know, when the phone was introduced, and a lot of people think that came from Alexander Graham Bell, it did not. Elijah Gray was the creator of the phone. The
I thought you Western were going to say you were, Keith. I thought you were
No, definitely you. Not. No. I know my hairline's a little shallow, man, but I don't go back to 1870-something. So when the, although our agency goes back to 1864, so technically you could say we've been around since before the telephone.
Wow.
But the CEO of Western Union at the time had said there was no reason that anyone would want to use a phone. And the Brits agreed with him because they said the Americans might need a phone, but we don't because we have plenty of messengers.
Oh my.
Okay. Now, as it turns out, Western Union ended up acquiring Elijah Gray's Caveat. And then the story goes that, you know, Western Union and Bell ended up agreeing. And that's, you know, you stay out of my world, I'll stay out of yours. And Western Union was only interested in the fact that Bell would stay out of the telegraph industry. So, okay, who's the visionary now, right?
Right.
And that's kind of where I think we're at right now in the insurance industry. If I had to draw a parallel, we have a lot of folks that are deciding what they don't want to do. Not what they do want to do, but what they don't want to do, right? So I can remember doing a session back in 1995 in Las Vegas somewhere at a meeting where I was teaching people how to register their domains, their URLs with Internet, and people not knowing whether or not they needed to do that. And a second session that day was, should we ever allow our CSRs to be online? Okay. So when you look at that and you say, where are we now? What are we speaking about now? Well, disintermediation, digital distribution. All of those conversations are the same conversation again. And that leads to folks making a decision as to where they want to be in the future. So if I had to think in terms of the future for the distribution channel, I think the successful distribution channels will be those who understand that critical mass is important, right? Being able to write enough premium with enough carriers and have enough revenue is clearly an important part of the process.
Right.
Understanding that your distribution will evolve along with your customers. So if I chose years ago not to use a fax machine when it came out because I didn't want to embrace technology, then I would have self-selected myself away from those clients who wanted me to fax them something. And I could make the same argument around email. right? If I was slow to adopt or embrace that technology, then my clients who wanted to use that were there. And we could move that forward to online quoting or even client portals today. If I am choosing not to offer my client the ability to enhance the customer experience they have with our agency, by in addition to their client service representative, their producer, and the team I have here, also giving them access to a client portal, then I am self-selecting my agency away from those clients who would like that. And then the next logical step is, if I am choosing not to do any sort of digital distribution strategy as part of growing my agency, then I am self-selecting our agency away from anyone who might want to do business with us that way.
Well, what so I like about it, Keith, is you're basically calling people out right here, and you're doing it in a very nice way, and I'm not quite as good at that. So what I basically want to say in a different way, correct me if I'm wrong, but you're basically saying, if you aren't moving forward, you are moving backward. And if you're deciding, like you said, so people are like, oh, that's not going to catch on. I don't need a URL back in the day. I mean, I always use the quote, Henry Ford asked his customers what they wanted, and they said, you need a faster horse. That, I mean, it's the same mentality, right? And so when you say self-selection, I think it's very important we stop and really dig into what that means. To me, that means you're making a choice, because you do have that choice in your own business to do whatever you want, to communicate with whoever you want to decide yes and no to whatever that is important to your agency to be successful. If you don't embrace, you know, back in the day, faxes, then emails, now digital distribution, if you're not doing that, you're deciding that you don't want to be the best of breed. Is that a kind of a little more harsh way of saying what you're saying?
Or you're choosing not to participate in that market segment or that demographic, right? And now we can convince ourselves that that demographic's bad. You know, I can remember conversations years ago, I don't want any of those online people, you know? And I think, thankfully, most of the folks have kind of moved on from that, because they realize they are themselves that online person, you know? Anyone who hasn't bought anything from Amazon, raise their hand, right? And you're going to hear crickets. The challenge now is, and you used Henry Ford as an example, the automobile industry is a great example of lots and lots of companies that existed, right? They all built cars, and they all thought they had the best solution to it. You move forward, it was those leaders who were smart enough to know who to partner with, right? The people, places, and things that will make you successful. I believe that's a Zig Ziglar term. Identify those, and then you will become more successful. So if you realize that a portion of your client base could use the ability to access the information on the nights and the weekends, but that makes you feel uncomfortable, then maybe you need to speak with folks who will help you become more comfortable with that thought.
Right.
Right. So it's not an unnatural thing to feel uncomfortable about change. If I told you I'd like to double your salary, you would become very comfortable with that very quickly, right?
Right.
If on the other hand, I said that you're going to need to provide these types of services to your clients, there are a lot of people who will believe, well, that's going to alienate my relationship. That's going to change my relationship. I can remember that conversation happening about direct bill in the industry. Everyone fought direct bill because now I'm going to have no relationship with my clients, and conversations being around, well, if the only relationship with the client is sending them a bill, then you have no relationship anyway, right? And so that's, again, that's taking people out of their comfort zones. And I think we're better at, I don't think we give ourselves enough credit actually for it.
Well, and if you look at it
well in this industry,
if you look at it in a certain way, like you said, I look at the independent agent channel as a choice to compete at every level. I want the ability to write the business that is presented to me. I want to be out there winning at every level. So when you talk about self-selection, you talk about some of the things we're talking about right here, you're talking about saying, I want to compete and I want to win. I just don't want to compete and win in that particular area, which to me is fool's gold, right?
Yeah, or decide what you're good at and go after it. But give yourself credit for what you're actually capable of accomplishing. I love when folks say, they talk about tech as if it's some sort of a bad thing or it's a separate world, right?
Yeah.
Yet everyone who's listening to this, hey, maybe listening to it on their phone that's streaming while they're driving in the car, right?
Right.
Unless they're sitting at the desktop, but they're probably listening to it in some other way because it's a podcast. So when you think about this for a moment, the Droid phone was introduced, what, like 2009? Most of the early adopters of smartphones, if I went to an industry event, were producers and principals and agencies. Now, many of these folks were the same people who would actually never type on a keyboard. I used to get a kick out of that.
Right.
So the introduction of the Palm Trio initially, and then the BlackBerry, is you tended to find that in the hands of sales marketing people initially. Why? Because they were in the field. All of a sudden, that keyboard was no longer the thing someone else used. It was something that they used. Mm. And yet today, most folks won't walk more than 3 feet away from their phone at any one point in time, which means that they started their life without technology, and then they had to change enough to embrace technology to be able to use on a day-to-day basis. And that's called digital immigration. So it is as if everyone started in one country and moved in the middle of their life, and now they had to learn to speak a different language.
Yeah.
So
good way to put
we
it.
We should all give ourselves a lot of credit, because that's a generation, mine, right? If you're coming out of baby boomer and Gen X to a certain point, that had to learn a new language in the middle of their career. So that means we're very capable of change and very capable of adopting something that's valuable to us.
So Keith, if I'm thinking about this in terms of growth and the agency, and you and I have had so many conversations, one thing that really hit me when we were talking was that as you move forward, obviously knowing what needs to be known about this industry and knowing the ins and outs of insurance are that's table stakes. You have to be there, but business now becomes sort of that key differentiator as you try to move into the next, you know, to the next level, or as we grow and as this industry changes so fast. If your business acumen isn't there, or you don't have someone in your organization with that business acumen, that's another way that you'll start to see yourself not be best of breed. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, without a doubt. And knowing, so part of it is identifying one, what does my future look like, right? Are you going to hang up the cleats, or are you really committed to doing this? And if you plan to be in this industry, you know, minimum 3 to 5 years from now, you're going to become really uncomfortable if you don't start to embrace the philosophies around some of these changes, distribution, et cetera. And I hate to use the word change. It's really more like evolution, right?
That's a way better word.
Oh, for sure. Because evolution sounds slightly more optimistic than change, which seems to have a negative connotation to it, right? So words are king. If you referred to Henry Ford before. I'll share a story in just a second that a lot of folks may not know about Henry Ford and the Ford Motor Company that's really important. But before I do it, if I don't know everything there is to know about law, I don't just dismiss it as something that's not going to impact me. I might hire an attorney, and I'm going to do the same for accounting. And if I don't know everything there is to know about technology, then I'm going to make sure that I bring on folks that have it. And just like law or accounting or real estate or whatever, one may not be the only. So, you know, you can have an IT guy that's really, really great at fixing a computer that's an entirely different person than digital marketing.
Right.
That's an entirely different person than best of breed workflows, right? So you find the people, places, and things that will make you happy. I used to laugh when people say, yep, I just hired an IT guy. I have no idea what that means, right? What does that mean? That's like saying, I hired an attorney. So are they going to do your corporate law and your tax law and do the closing on your house, right?
Right,
so depending
right.
upon what it is that niche. So I'll loop that around to the Ford conversation, because you brought Mr. Ford up a few moments ago. So, you know, at a time when the automobile industry was still very expensive to build a car at that point in time, and people were building it, a lot of folks credit Henry Ford with the assembly line, right? That was the big change. There were people in this country or around the world that think Henry Ford invented the car, but we all know that it was about implementing change to an existing industry to help to do a few things, right? Increase distribution and drive down the cost. In the insurance industry, we live in a world of mass customization, very similar, in fact, aligned to the automobile industry. So the cars come out different. Now, Henry was credited as saying, you can have any color you want as long as it's black, right? And every car is going to come out the same. And they think that's the reason for driving down the cost. You know what? That's a very superficial explanation of it. He was smart enough to know what he could do by himself and what he couldn't do by himself. And he bought a company that was in the oil pan stamping business. And that particular company included a gentleman by the name of Bill Knutson. And it's not a name that rolls off your tongue because he doesn't get credit for this. But Bill Knutson was a big fan of improving the assembly process, the assembly line process. And he looked to the meatpacking industry. So again, look to people who do it. So the meatpacking industry, instead of having one person tear down an entire side of beef, they'd have somebody remove one part of it and slide it down. You've seen the meat hanging on the hooks, right? Yep. That you'll wonder why. It's not just there to keep them cold. That's part of the disassembly process, right? So they used to have a group of people build an entire vehicle from top to bottom, okay? And from bottom to top, actually. And they cut the build time from 12 hours to 93 minutes. And they cut the cost of the vehicle from $895 to $395. And they increased the amount of vehicle, they increased the amount of production from 38,000 to 200,000. Now, the important part about this is that they actually split up the manufacturing process into 84 steps. And they had one person doing the same thing over and over again, and then they would cross-train them. That was the beginning of the assembly line. And that's actually Bill Knutson. How's that for interest? Story. So the point of that is, if I own an agency or if I'm involved in management of a firm, even if I don't possess that knowledge myself, there are some brilliant people who do. And investing and getting behind those folks' perspective on the future is ultimately what can lead to your success.
Yeah.
It helped Henry Ford, and it helped to separate that company from so many others, many of whom they ended up buying later. If he didn't buy it, then General Motors bought it, right? Some people don't even know the Dodge brothers worked for Henry Ford, right? So that was the nature of the industry, very similar to the insurance industry, lots of people working. And I believe that the agency principals and the management teams that recognize where the insurance industry is going and get behind it will begin to realize that they are actually the disruptors from inside the industry, not the other way around.
I think that it's a monumental shift that's happened and continues to happen, and I think will cascade even farther is what you just said, that disruption used to be an external thing and now it's become a very industry specific disruption. Is that what you mean?
Definitely.
Yeah.
If you look at I'll go back to the disintermediation period. It was outsiders disintermediating insurance agencies. And many of them, were not able to get up the steam. They might have raised some capital. Some of them raised a lot of capital, actually, during the dot-com boom. But after March of 2000, you saw sort of a shift and a change in that industry. I mean, in multiple industries, not just insurance. As far as today, the concept of a disruption has a connotation of being an outsider. But if you look at where disruption was 3 or 4 years ago in the insurance industry, it was folks on the outside saying, that business is really screwed up, I'm going to fix it. Well, and now it's changed.
Keith, I want to put a bow on something. Stay where you are, because I want that to be our topic moving forward. But I want to put a bow on the thing that we just talked about, which I brought up as business acumen. You told a story which made perfect sense. I want to put a bow on it from my perspective, which is, basically, in a nutshell, what we just talked about was business acumen. It's an agency principal, somebody that runs a firm, a leadership position, being able to say, okay, I need really good people doing things they're really good at. And acknowledging that you, me, whoever is in that position of leadership doesn't know it all, isn't an expert at everything. That's what business acumen to me is. So as you move forward in this industry, is having really good people doing things they're really good at shows that you have that business savvy that you're going to need to move forward, right?
Oh, yeah. And especially in today's world of consolidation, right? There's lots of talent around the country. And you saw, you know, 15 years ago, consolidation being about simply aggregation and moving things up to the top without necessarily taking advantage of the talent from within. And today, I believe you see the new mergers and acquisitions and consolidation in the insurance industry taking better advantage of the talent that's within the organizations, right?
Yeah,
we're an example
in
our firm.
I agree with that 100%.
It's changing a lot in that direction. You know, and there's great examples even of leaders that might have surrounded themselves with people. I'm trying to remember the specific year. I think it was around 77 or 78, but the founder of DEC, I think his name was Ken Olson, he had specifically said that there was no reason anyone would want a computer in their home. It was only about 10 years later that, you know, brilliant people, right? You know, like Steve Jobs and Bill Gates and so forth, disproved that logic. So how many agency owners right now are saying nobody would ever want to buy anything online? So do you want to hang around and wait for somebody to disprove that? Or do you want to actually, from within the industry, control how that happens?
Or do you wish you would have bought Amazon stock a few years ago? That would have been a good day.
Right. These aren't bad things.
All right,
this is just business.
It's just business. Right. So shifting gears slightly, you were talking about the technology of things. And I want to go to a word that's used a lot. And I want to get your 2 cents on the word and what it really means, because it's such a, I think, an overused buzzword, but a necessary buzzword, if that makes sense. And you know what I'm going to say. The word is insurtech. Give me your take on the word, the meaning, and what's happening with that.
Well, for one, I think it's a really great word for startups to use when they want to raise capital.
100%.
It makes sense for that. I think that, again, it almost immediately denotes a negative connotation within the insurance industry. I've spent a lot of time in front of agencies in different parts of the country, demystifying that as much as possible.
Good.
I don't perceive that the word itself is a negative. It basically means a technology company or solution that's in the insurance industry. And that doesn't mean that everything is around agents and brokers in the distribution channel. Clearly there are solutions that are there, but 10 years ago, we still had technology companies building solutions for the insurance industry. And 25 years ago, we had technology companies building solutions, right? So we've put a sort of a catch-all phrase around it that makes sense for today. And 10 years from now, it might be something different. It also helps because you've got fintech, right? Now you have insurtech. So it helps to be able to have a phrase. We used to refer to things as having
it's a
SaaS
definition.
Model, right? We used to refer to people as being ASPs. Ooh, it's cloud. It must be nice. You know, so there's all these terms that people throw around. But at the end of the day, a bad idea in the cloud is still a bad idea.
Right.
And a bad idea for an insurtech is still a bad idea. So if you demystify that, again, and give yourself credit for being, you know, somebody who can evolve and change, I think that recognizing that insurance agents and brokers today are, in fact, insurtechs. So if you embrace, again, client portal technology, you offer your client solutions online, et cetera, you're basically doing digital distribution, right?
Right.
And so there's really no difference between, you know, 30 or 40,000 independent agencies out there who are offering this and someone else who says, I'm now able to offer a couple of carriers online. If you're selling insurance and you require a license to do that, then first, you're an insurance agent or broker. Then you're an insurtech. Doesn't go the other way around, right? If you are providing a technology solution and you're not licensed to sell insurance, then you're a technology vendor in the insurance space, hence you're an insurtech.
Right? Yeah.
There are current vendors in the insurance space today who probably manage 95% of the independent agency channel. I guess I could say they are all insurtechs.
Yeah, I think so.
Right? Because they provide that insurance technology. There is a bit of a connotation that if you're an insurtech, somehow you're a little cooler, a little better. You're not legacy. You're
cutting edge.
Cutting edge. But you know, I you know what I love right now? I see digital MGAs. I see digital insurance agencies. But effectively, they are independent agents, brokers, or they are MGAs or wholesalers that are now offering technology solutions to buoy their business.
Yeah. All right. So here, all right, I'm gonna shift gears on you here. I know you and I could go on for days, but I want to give our listeners something to take back to their day. Something that either, today, this afternoon, tomorrow, that they're going to implement, like something that they can go do or think about or, and really affect change. So give me like three things that with what we're talking about, with what all of the stuff that's happening, I can go back to my agency, back to my daily life, and I can affect change now. Give me some bite-sized chunks.
The one is I would spend a little personal time and think about your future, where you personally want to be in 3 to 5 years, whoever that is that's, listening.
Yeah. So make a plan.
Because it has to start with you. Happy work life means happy home life. Happy home life means happy work life, right? If one or the other is not working out well, it will have an impact on the other. So you can't properly embrace anything without that philosophy, right? Then next, if you're working for a firm, you should be saying to yourself, what in our world right now that I'm doing every day of the week could I be doing better? You might have coworkers that don't want to embrace some of the things that you should be doing, whether it's real-time transactions, claims download, commercial, things like that, or real-time. But that doesn't mean that you can't make the decision to try to invest in that yourself or bring those ideas up the channel, same way that Bill Knutson brought it to Henry Ford, right?
Right, right.
Or, if you are that Henry Ford, if you are that person, who do you have around you today that you can identify as the people, places, or things to help you move forward? I love if I get a phone call from someone else because you know what? I'm going to make phone calls to somebody else or visit them at an industry meeting or whatever.
And you always pick the phone, Keith. I know you do.
Well, yeah. And you know what? If somebody sticks their head in the sand though and they think they know best and they haven't spoken to anybody for 3 or 4 years, they probably don't know best anymore.
Right.
Right? That's somebody who's only self-invested. Right? So in order to really grow, I think that you're going to invest in others as well as investing in yourself.
Okay.
So I think that's probably the second thing. And then the third part of it is, what are you taking away from those two items so that you can, in fact, make a positive impact? What I refer to as a drama-free world, making a positive impact on the most amount of people possible. And most importantly, when you walk home and you go home and you see your family, that you feel really good about what you do on a daily basis.
Be able to look yourself in the mirror every morning and say, I'm doing good. I'm doing a good thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
You want to feel good about that, right? We live in a very charitable industry also. And so I guess some of this comes with that. I'm very invested in the insurance community and
very much
trade associations and things like that. And I really do believe that it's good karma. You get back what you put in. Clearly I've always gotten back far more than I've ever put in to the industry. And, there are lots of great people out there that have, looked out for us at various times in our careers, we for others, because we are part of one community. And the community has created all these associations, right? They're the keepers of our ideas, but we own these groups and these associations. And great example, like with the network of Vertifor users, right? You have 50 plus local chapters, hundreds and hundreds of awesome volunteers. And at the end of the day, they're all benefiting by that time because they see an enhancement come in the system or whatever. And I think that that's really important is on the charity side. But our industry is very, very unique in this. Lots of people do things for people every day of the week, whether it's in the industry or connected because they're involved with, things like, Rotary or Meals on Wheels or what have you, right? Those are all wonderful organizations.
Right.
And, but most of them do it without any ask for thanks. And so there's a term that I'll give credit to him in just a moment, but, if you do something for somebody else and more than two people know about it, you and the person you did it for, you did it for all the wrong reasons.
Right.
So most of the people in this industry, I am blown away by the amount of caring and concern that they have. So the greatest compliment that I think people need to realize and take with them forward that they should focus on is this. You ended up in the insurance industry, most people did, by mistake. Why? There's a reason why you're here, because you cannot be in this industry unless you possess kindness, caring, and consideration. We don't get a lot of thank yous.
Yeah, no, you're right.
We fix people's problems every day of the week. And when it gets really, really bad, who's there to help people? Us.
Yeah.
That takes special people.
You say that with such conviction, Pete, that I mean, having known you such a long time, I know that's from the heart, and I agree and I appreciate that.
I appreciate it, Rick. There's no script in my world.
No, absolutely not.
You know that.
All right. Like I said, we could keep going for days. I want to do what I always do at the end here, but before I do, I'm going to ask you one last question. Before I do, I just kind of want to recap. I think what's important for people to take out of this is the water balloon to the face mentality that I think where it's like people need to sort of figure out whatever it is that motivates them to change, to evolve. I think when you use the word evolve, that is the perfect word. And you look at, you know, we talked about Henry Ford, and we talked about whether or not we should be communicating via fax and computers that are, I'm like, we talked about things that people are like, duh, like, of course, but it wasn't duh, of course, at that time. And we're at a time right now where that's happening again, and it's going to keep happening for the rest of time. But if you are currently in a position where you are self-selecting, it's a word you, or a phrase you use, which I love, to not join that fray, you are doing yourself a disservice. So whether it's the example of the car industry or the computer industry, or like I mentioned, you know, no one's going to buy anything online. Yeah, I wish I would have had Amazon stock. Any of those things is exactly what Keith's talking about in regards to just taking a step back. I loved your first thing of how you affect change. Take some time, make a plan, decide where you want to be, and then how do you get there? To me is where that's where the rubber meets the road. So Keith, I want to ask you one last question. I always ask this question. It's simple yet profound. And I know from you, we'll get some great audio here. We're going to record this next little bit right here, put it in a time capsule, bury it. Somebody's going to unbury it tomorrow, a year, whenever. What is Keith Savino's one big piece of advice for the insurance industry? Put you on the spot.
Well, my question, not piece of advice, would be, what are you going to do for your next career? The nature of thinking like a futurist is that folks are living longer and longer. The idea of finding one career for 20 years and retiring in 25 years is vanishing. And we will have lots of second and third career folks entering the insurance industry.
Yeah.
We will also be folks who will be going on to other careers in other industries. So the idea of beginning and ending your entire life in the insurance industry may become a real challenge when there are futurists who will tell you that the 500-year-old person is walking the planet today.
Right. No. Yeah.
That's a challenge, right? So that's why you see the evolution of the gig economy. That's why you see the evolution of, you know, of folks in various age groups with multiple careers already. And I would say, even to those folks who are in the insurance industry today, what are you going to do for your next career?
Yeah, I love that. That's good stuff. Keith, as always, my man, you are just overflowing with knowledge, information. I love your stories because they set a tone for people to go, that makes sense. I should change. That makes sense. I should evolve. We will do this again soon. I hope if you will grace us with your presence later on. Thank you so much for being on, Keith.
Thank you very much, Rick. You're awesome, man.
I appreciate it, man. And everybody out there, lots of great episodes coming up, lots that are already posted. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast. And my contact is rfox@vertifor.com. Please send me people you think would be great that the industry could learn from as we keep trying to teach and give knowledge. Thanks, everybody, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you for listening to the Vertifor Insurance Podcast, and tune in next Thursday for a brand new episode. You can find more episodes at vertifor.com under the Resources tab or wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure you subscribe, and if you enjoyed this episode, share it on social and spread the word. Don't forget to join in on the conversation and recommend future guests by messaging us at Vertifor.